Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 47. Pravitam cha nritim cha dvividam karma vaidikam avartate praritena nivritena shite mritam Pravritam, inclination for material enjoyment. Cha, and Niritam, cessation of material enjoyment. Cha, and Dvividam, those two varieties. Karma, of activities. Vaidikam, recommended in the Vedas. Avartate, one travels up and down through the cycles of samsara. Paritena, by an inclination for enjoying material activities. Niritena, but by ceasing such activities. Ashnute, one enjoys. Amritam, eternal life. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti activities involve raising oneself from a lower to a higher condition of materialistic life. Whereas nivritti means the cessation of material desires. Through pravritti activities, one suffers from material entanglement. But by nivritti activities, one is purified and becomes fit to enjoy eternal blissful life. Purport. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 16:7, pravittim cha nivrittim cha jana navadur asura. The asuras, non-devotees, cannot distinguish between pravritti and nivritti. Whatever they like, they do. Such persons think themselves independent of the strong material nature, and therefore they are irresponsible and do not care to act piously. Indeed, they do not distinguish between pious and impious activity. Bhakti, of course, does not depend on pious or impious activity. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6, Savai pumso paro dharmo ito bhaktir ahokshaje ahaitik yapratiyata yayatma supersedati. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men could attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Nonetheless, those who act piously have a better chance to become devotees. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritina arjuna. Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me. One who takes the devotional service even with some material motive, is considered pious. And because he has come to Krishna, he will gradually come to the stage of bhakti. Then, like Dhruva Maharaj, he can refuse to accept any material benediction from the Lord. Swamin kritartosmi varam na yache. Therefore, even if one is materially inclined, one may take to the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna Balaram, or Gaur and Nitai, so that he will very soon be purified of all material desires, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shasvak Shantim Nigachati. Soon as one is freed from inclinations towards pious and impious activities, he becomes a perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. Pravittam cha nivrittam cha dvividam karma vaidikam avartate paritena nivritena shnute mritam. According to the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti activities involves raising oneself from a lower to a higher condition of materialistic life, whereas nivritti means the cessation of material desires. Through pravritti activities, one suffers from material entanglement, but by nivritti activities, one is purified, comes fit to enjoy eternal blissful life. Modern civilization means a society of ignorance. This is Krishna's conclusion in Bhagavad Gita. Not conclusion, this is Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita. As mentioned in the purport here, nivrittim ja jana na vidur asuram. Nivrittim ja nivrittim ja jana na vidur asura. Nasocham na pichachiro nasatyam teshu vidyate. The asuras, which is translated as the demoniac, they don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. And here the word Prabhupada translates pravritti as knowing what to do in order to become materially elevated. And nivritti means to engage in spiritual activities so one can realize one's eternal nature. The asuras don't know either pravritti nor nivritti. Therefore, they never come to the mode of goodness, which is characterized by two main qualities, namely satya and socham, and all the other activities, which is nachapichatro. And the basic principle, they don't believe in Krishna. As it says, asatyam apratishtam te, jagaro horanishvaram, aparashvaram sambhutyam, kimanya kama haitukam. They say that this world is completely unreal. It has no foundation and has no God in control. In other words, the world was imperfectly created by accident. There's so many deficiencies in the world. The laws don't work properly. And therefore we, the scientists, have to come along and change everything. We see a planet, we give it our name because now it exists. Before we saw it, it didn't exist. And now we blessed it with our name, so it's purified. They don't believe in Krishna, that he's the controller. They don't believe that the material nature was systematically created, that it has a purpose. They think it's all just chance and accident, and they themselves are the Ishvaras here. Therefore, even the most simple statements in Bhagavad Gita, they have no idea what Krishna is talking about. What to speak of spiritual. They don't even know the material aspect, how the material world is working. Krishna says, Bhumir apanlovayu kamano buddha eva cha. Ahankara itiame vine prakriti ashtita. They say, oh, this is very quaint. Krishna is talking about earth and water and fire and air and ether. They don't realize that the words that Krishna uses is completely different from our conception. Krishna is talking about energies. The energies that make things solid, appear to be solid, energies that bring things together and make them cohesive, energies that transform one substance to the next, energies that move things in the universe, and energies that maintain stability in the world by providing the space by which things fit into. And what to speak of the subtle mind, intelligence, and false ego. The mind, which is the reservoir of thinking, feeling, and willing. The intelligence to put things in perspective, and our material identification. And then Krishna says, of course, etanyanani bhutani sarvaniti buddharya aparemitasvanya prakriti vidimepuram jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam dharyate jagat. And then there is ourselves, the soul. And we should fit in there because we're experiencing these energies. And then there is etad yoni bhutani sarvaniti padarya aham krishnasa jagata prabhavas pralayas tata. And then there is Krishna, the super soul, who's giving everyone remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, and directing everyone. So even this, the materialists don't know, and therefore they think that by their endeavors to change things, they're going to make things better. But Krishna says, etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmana nobudhaya pravayan yuga karmana sheya jagatohita. Following such conclusions and loss to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. Not every demon is consciously trying to destroy the world, but they're doing a good job of it anyhow, because they're blind. Drishtim, avashtavya. They've concocted this idea that the material nature is our enemy, and we have to destroy it. And anything goes wrong, we have to cut it out, we have to burn it, we have to desensitize it with opiates. They think the world is just a struggle against material nature and ultimately against the laws of nature. But because they don't know what the laws are, and even if they knew what the laws are, they would ignore them anyhow. But because they don't know what the laws are and they act against the laws of nature, they simply create problems for themselves in this life and the next. Ashvadadana purusha, ashvadana hutam datam, tapastaptam kritam chayat, asat ichuchite partha nat chat pretut no iha. This is the conclusion of the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is the last chapter in Bhagavad Gita, so this is also one of the conclusions of Bhagavad Gita. Ashvadada hutam datam tapastaptam kritam chayat asat ichuchite partha nat chat pretut no iha. Anyone who does penance, sacrifice, and austerity without faith in the Supreme is useless both in this life and the next. People are thinking they're making progress. They're making progress into the darkest regions of ignorance. It's like if you're in quicksand and you're sinking, the more you struggle, then the quicker you sink. It's only when you put your hands out and someone pulls you out, you can actually be saved from the quicksand. Unless you're a super expert or you're not so deeply into the quicksand. Similarly, people are in difficulty, but they're usually in difficulty because of all their attempts in the previously to solve their difficulties, that's created their present difficulties. Everything done without knowledge, scriptural knowledge doesn't mean blind knowledge, it means the fact that there are energies in this world and scripture defines them. Just like if you're hot, generally you like to take something cold. And if you're cold, you like to take something hot. But if you're getting medical treatment, they don't ask you if you're hot or cold. They just have a protocol. They just give everyone the same thing and hope for the best and expect the worst. And if things turn out badly, that's good for them. Bad for you, but good for them because then they get to treat you more. Treating you more means they make more money. And if they own a stake in a funeral parlor, then they get you from cradle to grave. But their conception is that the human beings, the living entities, since they've been killing animals, since they're all practically sinful, killing animals, and if they don't kill animals, they kill their children. There's a great group of people who are very much against killing animals. They don't mind killing the children. having abortions, that's all right, because that's for fun. But killing animals, no, that's not nice. And there's other people who are completely into killing animals, but they think, oh, killing your children is not so nice. So they're all asuras. They're all in ignorance. And the result is that andaya tandira bhigyamanaste pisha tandra urudami vara. They're blind and they're following other blind people. And the result is that they fall into the modes of the darkest regions of existence, into the lower species of life, where they can struggle all they want against material nature. But human form of life is meant to end this struggle, to not see the material nature as an enemy, but to live in harmony with it. That the person who created it is not a old man sitting on a throne who hates everyone, throwing them into hell because he doesn't like the way they look. He's actually an all-affectionate, all-loving, all-powerful person who's created material nature in such a way that if we're in harmony, then there's no problem. It's like if you're in a normal society, which there are not very many nowadays, but theoretically, we read about in the books that there used to be normal societies where if you did something, if you lived in harmony with the laws of the government, then they didn't cause you any difficulty. And if you violated the law, then you'd get some reaction for it. The police would come or someone would come and harass you. So similarly, the material nature was not set up to cause us difficulty. It was set up so that if we lived according to the laws of Krishna, the laws of nature, then we'd have, as Krishna says, devan bhava yata dena, te deva bhavayantuva, parashparam bhavayantak shekparam vapsita. The demigods, being satisfied by performance of sacrifice, supply all the necessities to man. But he who enjoys these necessities without offering to the demigods in return is considered a thief. And he's punished. Ishtan boga hivo deva, dasinte jagabhavita, taradaita apradaya ibyo, yo bunte eva stena eva. Stena means thief. One is a thief and he'll be punished. So people are being punished. Why these pandemics and all this controversy going on is all agitating to people's minds, whatever side of the issue you're on. Whether you believe the scientists or the doctors are saving us, or you think they're trying to kill us, still, either way, it's agitating to the mind, the whole thing, because of people's sinful activities. Because they're not performing sacrifice to Vishnu, therefore they're made to suffer one way or the other. They're thinking about everything else except for Krishna, except for their relationship to Krishna. Whatever they do in ignorance. And therefore, everything is more or less becoming degraded. Although, people when they're suffering, they generally become more inclined to Krishna consciousness. So if there are people to give them Krishna consciousness, that becomes an asset. Generally speaking, there are four kinds of suffering which people think are enjoyment. Namely, illicit sex, intoxication, animal killing, and mental speculation and gambling. These, they think, are happiness. And they're actually the source of misery. So a pious person, a religious person, what is religion? Because nowadays it's hard to say what religion is, but religion begins with giving up these four activities by regulating them at least. When they have a fast, generally every religion had fast days. People would fast. They even had, in the Catholic religion, they had meatless Fridays. Of course, they didn't consider eating fish, they didn't consider eating meat. So people just eat fish on Friday, get their vitamin D from the fish. But they had some conception there should be some control. There should be some regulation. The idea of regulation is Prabhupada used to say, why do they charge tax for alcohol is to regulate it. Why do they say you shouldn't drink and drive? Because they know it's dangerous. It's a dangerous state of being that you're putting yourself in. Even if you walk down the street, you might be a danger to yourself. So, regulation. There is rules and regulations, religious regulations, the state regulations, if they're made by sane people. They're all meant to regulate our senses so we can control our mind. And the main regulations are to be austere, to be merciful, to be truthful, and to be clean, which is destroyed by illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and intoxication. So this is just to come to the platform gradually of becoming civilized. Without following these four principles, how can one say one is a human being? If you're not merciful, you're not clean, you're not truthful, and you're not austere, how can anyone actually believe that someone is someone who's not, doesn't have these four principles, is actually human? Even the animal, you see a cat, is always licking itself, trying to clean itself. And if a human being doesn't take a bath for 3 months, and doesn't wash his hands before he eats and after, looks at his hand, well, it looks pretty clean, no worries. So far away, it's 2 feet away, the bathroom. Oh, come on. He expect me to get up. The prasadam is right here. And if the first thing out of someone's mouth is a lie, just give a donation. I have no money. No, no, just give anything. Give a dollar. Give a euro. Checks the wallet. Well, all I get is 50s. I can give you change. No, no, it's not my money. It's my grandparents'. I'm just walking around with it. So what can be expected? People are not trained. That's the problem. They're not trained properly. To be even on the Pravritti platform, how to live material life in a sane position, in a sane way, in a healthy way. They have some false conception that I can cut it out, I can burn it out, I can destroy it, I can somehow or another take some pill or some medicine, and I can go on doing whatever sinful activity I want to do, I'm being impelled to do, I can do whatever I want, I don't have to change my mentality, I can be envious, I can be deceitful, I can be angry, I could be, have all my mind filled with all kinds of negative emotions, then still I'll be very happy and completely peaceful and prosperous. So people are trained up like that. So they're being misdirected because they've simply chosen the wrong persons to follow. Unless we take Krishna as our leader and hear from Krishna and understand him in every sphere, not only in the spiritual sphere, but also in the material practical sphere. People are talking about, oh, this, the Lord, he's living in heaven, and if you just believe in him, you'll go to him. If you believe in him, then you'll follow his commandments. You'll follow his instructions. To believe in him, when Krishna says, Bhumir Apanalo Vayu, you think, oh, that's about the material world. We don't have to believe in Krishna when he talks about the material world. It's the spiritual world we believe in. If Krishna doesn't know about his own creation here in the material world, how can we trust that he knows anything about the spiritual world? And if someone can't even follow Krishna's instructions in the material world, how can we believe that they have know anything about the spiritual world? If you can't see Krishna in the taste of water, in the light of the sun and the moon, in the syllable Om, in the Vedic mantras, and the sound and ether and ability of man, how are you going to see him in the bushes of Vrindavan with the gopis? Which is far, far away. You can't see him right in front of you, then how are we going to see him in some very far away place? Therefore, pravrittim means to understand how the material world works, and nivrittim, how the spiritual world works also. And it begins with socham, cleanliness, satyam, truthfulness, and chachara, knowing how to act properly. So socham means not only to wash our hands, wash our dishes, but also wash our consciousness and put it in Krishna consciousness. No one can have a clean mind unless they're Krishna conscious. And no one could be truthful unless they agree with what Krishna says. If I think I'm this body and I make other people believe I'm this body, then that's a lie. It's deceitful. I may not know who I am, but at least I shouldn't pretend to be something I'm not. And if I don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then I'll think I'm God. And that's also deceitful. Chachara. And therefore everything I'm doing will be wrong. Will go in the wrong direction. Therefore, some knowledge of this material world, how it's working, how it's coming from Krishna at least, how Krishna is benevolent and the material nature is not our enemy, is necessary. So we don't live in out of harmony with material nature and simply try to make things worse. Speculate. There's a science, Krishna has given us the sciences of Ayurveda, Jyotirveda, Vastu. He's given us Dhanurveda. He's given us so many science, and that's real science. Everything else is just mental speculation. Of course, there are other sciences such as, you know, Chinese medicine, which are derivatives of Ayurveda. There are other sciences which are following more or less in the same line of natural sciences, but sciences that go against the material nature. They may have their uses in certain instances, but ultimately they're simply causing destruction. And because they're created in order to do that. They're created by asuras to exploit others. And because the blind, people who are blind in this Kali Yuga, there are only two classes of people, generally speaking, the cheated and the cheated. So the asuras are the cheating, and the rest of the population, who are shudras, less intelligent, they're simply being cheated. And if someone stands up, he has some knowledge, and tells him, then all the shudras will complain. Why are you disturbing us? We want to be cheated. We don't want to hear about you're a god. Your knowledge, so-called knowledge coming from God. We don't accept it. And whatever speculation we go through, that's as good as we get. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Abhidhuta Roy, what is the question today?
Hare Krishna. I just read a commentary by Baladeva Vidyabhushana in his Gita Bhushana saying, it is not necessary to study any other book than the Bhagavad Gita. But isn't the Srimad Bhagavatam the best book for Vaishnavas? He has three questions. This is the first.
No, Bhagavad Gita is the best. Because if we don't understand Bhagavad Gita, we won't understand Srimad Bhagavatam either. And if we understand Bhagavad Gita perfectly, we'll automatically understand the Bhagavatam. It's not like the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita are in competition with each other. They're both giving the same information. One is just giving it a little bit more elaborately, that's all, with some more examples.
What is your best argument for existence of God? Some say, although devotees, it's not really possible to prove the existence of God.
Depends who you're trying to prove it to. If you're trying to prove the existence of the sun to someone who keeps his eyes closed, won't refuses to see the sun, go to someone who is willing to open their eyes and see if it's there or not. So, what's the best proof? Follow the process of pure devotional service. under the directions of a bona fide acharya in disciple succession, and then you'll get the proof. Otherwise, Krishna says, the foolish, they can't understand how the living entity quits his body, or what kind of body enjoys under the spell of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So we don't try to prove it to anyone. We try to explain how people can realize Krishna through the process of pure devotional service. Otherwise, we can use some logic, but most people are not very logical, so they won't accept it.
And the third one, which sciences you would classify into destructive sciences?
Destructive, everything outside the Vedic sciences is going to be destructive. It's not even science. Science means something that can be repeated. Just like it can be repeated that everyone's body is changing, but we're not changing. So that's science. Everything, you know, unless it's, that's real science. Now, the so-called scientific method of making a theory, having an experiment, an observation, reaching a conclusion, they never reach a conclusion by the pratyaksha and anuman, by direct sense perception, because our senses are imperfect. We have a tendency to cheat. We're an illusion. We make mistakes. So by such a method, we'll never come to a conclusion, a final conclusion. We have to hear from actually people who actually know. Then we can come to a, that's real science. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you for the lecture. I didn't see the connection of the first two questions with the lecture.
I didn't either, but anyway, we answered them anyhow.
Okay. You've spoke that the laws of material nature are not here to torture us. If we abide by them, we should be perfectly happy. I mean,
well, we can be less miserable, yeah. Which is called happiness in the material world.
Well, you were citing this verse where Krishna says that higher nature is using the means of lower nature in this material world, for their enjoyment.
You mean the demons are trying to exploit people? Uh-huh. Yeah, I think most of us understand that the demons didn't set up the society for the, especially nowadays, when demons in control like Duryodhana, ultimately speaking, he's exploiting people. Therefore, Krishna wanted to replace him with someone like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Because he didn't give them Duryodhana ran a very nice kingdom, so did Ravana. But they weren't giving people God consciousness. So that way, they were feeding their own false egos.
Yeah, that's exactly my question is that we actually came here to feed our false egos. So is this possible? Because these laws of material nature should ultimately turn us into turning our faces to God and admit our dependence. But is there a difference? Can we be here not admitting our dependence and living independently, feeding our false ego, and be somehow happy abiding to some kind of Vedic principles? Is this a purpose of universe also, that you can sustain some kind of happiness?
Yeah, people are trying to do that, of course. It doesn't work, though, because you have to die. It doesn't perpetually work. I mean, obviously, when people, they go from one higher planetary system to the next, but they do it by at least acknowledging Krishna's existence. But they may not do it, you know, they may understand Krishna, but only a devotee actually does things to please Krishna without any other motive. So unless we do things just to please Krishna, we have to take some kind of body. As long as we get a body, it's going to have to at least die, even on Brahmaloka. We have to leave our body. And that's suffering. So there's going to be some anxiety. Brahma's worried. He only has 150 trillion, 40 billion years left in his life. He's worried, he's growing old. So that worrying is like putting a drop of poison in the milk. The milk is nice, but that drop of poison will not make it very enjoyable. So as long as we have to die, we can't be actually happy. All right. Kuala, Grantara, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.